When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, bud. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it! You gotta see it!
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon! Hey! Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Football Friday.
Indeed.
Thanks for being a part of our day. We're here ready to rock and roll. It feels like a holiday for more than just...
Are you just saying that because...
My dressing.
Yeah, you are wearing a onesie.
Yeah, this is our last show all together before the holidays.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to wear my Christmas lights onesie today.
Yeah,
it's got a hood.
I didn't realize.
It's got zip-on footsies.
You were sitting down the entire time I came in.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a hoodie.
Mm-mm.
You stood up a few minutes ago and walked out to go do something, and I went, wait, what?
We need to normalize wearing onesies as adults.
You also have the front pockets, which is kind of... That's
it's got pockets?
Yours has pockets?
That's an elite onesie.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, he's got
pockets.
Pockets.
You can zip on or off footsies.
Ooh, that's a fancy one.
Yeah.
I would have thought of that, because I got a good Star Wars Christmas onesie with the hood and everything, too.
It's
and
got an
I
wish adjustable I it. Hood, too.
Oh, yeah. You got the drawstring?
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Yeah, see, I can't do the onesies with the feet, man. I just get too hot.
Yeah. See, you could zip these bad boys right off. You could roll them up. You could have shorts. I mean, if you're in a more tropical climate.
I like it.
You know, anything you want. It's versatile.
I got that Care Bear onesie, man. And I put that thing on at Halloween, and I was dying.
Onesies are great. They keep you warm.
They're very warm.
Cozy.
They are cozy.
Yeah.
So it feels like a holiday because I'm dressed like a Christmas tree, but also because it is the start of the college football playoff. And look, you turn on the TV in the morning, the Cure Bowl is going
on.
Bro,
I kind of went for a loop here in that, I get up in the morning and just click on the TV, and I click on ESPN to get my Sports Center going, make sure I don't miss any news or stories or anything like that while I'm getting ready. And ESPN has got Ohio versus Jackson State on.
Let's go.
It was quite crazy. Can I give you a mildly creepy thing?
Sure.
This is mildly. No, mildly creepy.
Okay.
Normally you don't ask for permission.
No. I did that 23andMe test, and I had like a bunch of like weird results that came out of it.
Yeah, like seven kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, that'll happen. But like they had a deal going. It had like the Premium Plus. It has like a bunch of it tells you a million things, right? And I just got the results yesterday, and I hadn't gone through everything. And I got up this morning. And just like naturally getting up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them says sleep quality. And it says wake up time. Likely to wake up around 8:04 a.m. I'm looking at this on the edge of my bed at 8:05 a.m.
Wait, what?
So apparently you have DNA markers that your body has like a specific like circadian rhythm.
Okay.
Which I was not aware of. But I found it incredibly creepy because I rolled over, grabbed my phone, and I was like, I just like when I first get up, I usually just grab my phone and start like scrolling through something to get my brain going.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, I'll click on that.
Boy, your brain is so different.
Yeah.
Like you play video games to go to bed.
Are you new here?
Yeah.
Well, I know. Play video games to go to bed, like to wake up, you like that's what scrolls. Usually that's what like keeps me in bed.
Mm. No, yeah. I just kind of get my brain going. Like, I just, like read something or look at something like interesting. I don't know.
All right, yeah.
But it literally picked up the exact moment I got up was the time that it literally said that it's all those, if you look for something, you'll find it, whatever numbers and things. But it was like I went from like mildly awake to like, holy crap, that's weird.
Yeah, that is very odd.
But also, like, it has things like whether or not you'll be a deep sleeper, how much sleep movement you have, if you'll have insomnia or restless leg syndrome.
How about snoring?
Does
it tell you if you snore?
No. It tells you how much, like, whether or not you'll be a deep sleeper or how much movement you'll have in your sleep. And mine is less likely to be a deep sleeper and likely average or less sleep movement, which I can attest to that because I'm in the exact same position.
Because you always sleep with your finger on the trigger.
Yeah, and you're, eyes open.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I don't really move in my sleep. The only time I do move is I have to. Are you guys side sleepers?
Yeah.
Side sleeper.
I'm an everything sleeper, honestly. I
you
toss
seem
and turn
like a big
so much.
Mover.
Yeah. I'm a big mover.
Yeah. I'm not a big mover.
No.
I'm
left side, right side, on my back, on my stomach. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh god, on your stomach? I can't I can't physically do that.
Hmm.
My hips don't allow for that.
Back sleeping leads to me snoring.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah. Oh, like the head tilt?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Especially with the mouth open.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I'm a Venus flytrap. If I sleep on my back, that's for sure.
I'm just on my side. Don't move.
Yeah, the only thing I've got is because my hips. I wake up in pain. I just switch sides.
Mm.
But otherwise, it's actually going through all of this, like of the things that I've found. There's a lot in here that is like, that tracks. Yeah, that makes sense. The thing that I found out, because we've talked about this like a couple times, just generally, like not knowing my family history or like lineage, I'm 55% Irish.
Okay.
Which no one in my family had any idea of. Like I sent the results to my immediate family, like, hey, anybody know we were Irish?
Doesn't that track though with you not knowing anything about your
lineage, typically if you're like Irish or Italian, like everybody always like, oh, I'm Irish or I'm Italian. I mean, like, it's like everybody talks about it.
Yeah.
The rest of it was Scandinavian, which we all assumed was the thing.
This seems wrong because I just my pessimistic brain goes to, well, is like 8:04 like the time that average person wakes up naturally? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you just naturally wake up. According to a recent study, the average person naturally wakes up between 7 and 8 a.m.
Mm.
Okay.
I am not average.
I
naturally wake up sometime around 3:30 to 4 o'clock.
It says, though, the average American, what time do you think the average American wakes up?
I would probably say 6:30.
Yeah, the peak time in America for waking up is between 6 and 6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
That surprises me. That seems early.
I mean, most people work the 7 o'clock shift.
Well, I mean, that's when I wake up.
Yeah.
But I think it's like I wake up because
kids.
Well, I naturally wake up at that time. Like I'll just pop up my eyes open because working early mornings like this is now feels like sleeping in for me.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like when you have to wake up at 3:45 or 4 in the morning.
See, I work nights forever. Like, so for me, like. I wake up later.
And I got to get kids to school now. So it's like, we do wake up between 6 and 6:30, but not everybody has kids. I thought that seemed early for the average time for an American to wake up.
Well, see, and I spent so many years as a bartender getting home at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to go to sleep. And then, like even 10 o'clock felt early.
Yeah.
Then
well, because, you need to get everybody gets... You know, 7 to 9 hours is what your body will say.
And the worst thing they could do was schedule you for the clopen.
Yeah.
You're not getting out there until at least 3 and you got to be there at 10.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. You got, well, the good thing about that is you could get a lot of the prep done before you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
so you
if
won't
you think about it that way.
You won't show up early in the morning being pissed off at the person that worked that closed because you were that
it was
person.
You?
Yeah. Yes.
You're like, damn them. You're
well,
like,
yeah, this closer left this place like S.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It was me.
It was me.
Oh, well, tough. My bad. All right. Well,
but no, this,
what
this...
else did you find out? You find out anything else?
I have.
I thought you were going to say you woke up to like an email saying, are you my dad?
Yeah, no. the ancestry composition was really interesting. They have these genetic markers that tie your mother's side and your father's side that like go way back.
Sure.
And like they're, depending on where your lineage comes from, like you could come from a lineage that existed 75,000 years ago. Apparently my branch is much, much, much newer. Mm. Like it only goes back like 6,000 years. But they can take in your DNA and trace it.
So you're a newfangled weirdo.
Yeah, so I
so you are an alien.
Basically. So
right around when the pyramids were being built,
Danny was hauling those stones up to the top.
All right. Now the aliens built the pyramids makes a little bit more sense.
So like there's some weird markers and traits that they can actually identify through like Neanderthal DNA.
Okay.
And according to mine, I have less.
What'd you call me?
He's a knuckle dragger.
No. Literally. I'm the opposite.
Oh.
I only have 96% of people who do this have more Neanderthal DNA than I do.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So as I'm saying, like, so mine is a much, much newer lineage.
No, you are. You're superior evolved human.
That's one way to look at it. I mean, but like there's stuff in here like. I still got to get used to kind of working around this. The reason I did this, for anybody wondering, like my wife and I are working on having kids, and everybody in my family dies of cancer. And the whole reason I did this was to see if I had any cancer markers. And I came back clean. I was like, hey, all right.
Everything else about your body's going to kill you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But there's DNA relatives. And like I've got ties to like ancient archaeological finds all over Scandinavia.
What? What does that even mean?
So, like, there are like remains from like 600 AD in Norway on an island that I have like.
And they've tied those to you?
Yes,
that's scary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't think I want to know this.
It to me, it's very like they have this thing called historical matches.
Mm.
So there's somebody from the United Kingdom from 900 CE.
So do they give you, like, famous people that you're related to?
Yes, I have one famous person.
Okay.
Beethoven.
What?
Beethoven. Not the dog, the musician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh, the deaf guy.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I was like, oh. But also, if you look at, like, in my...
That's pretty cool.
In my lineage, it's, like I said, it's Irish, Scandinavian, and basically the rest of it is Dutch, German, French. Like all that region where he's from. So there's a couple like little other markers there that like were unclear. The rest of it was Eastern Europe, Russia. So like
there are only two things I can't stand in this world: people who are intolerant of other people's cultures,
mm-hmm.
and the Dutch.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, like I'm still trying to work through all of the things in here.
So where do we stand on Beethoven was black? Remember, that's like that's an internet conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's the case.
All right, so your DNA testing disproved that. You're related to Beethoven, but you're white.
White.
All right.
Yeah, so... Okay.
So you know what? That was actually... This has been very helpful to dispel internet myths, which I thought your lineage would definitely not do that. I thought it may amplify some internet... myths that are
well,
out there.
Well, I mean, Vancouver Fort Text Line, Ripper, which again, British Isles. So, so according to the Ancestry Timeline thing that this has, it tells you, like, the descriptive is, it says, is how many generations ago is the most recent ancestor for each population. And in this thing, it tells me that you most likely had a parent, grandparent, or great grandparent who was 100% British / Irish because they come, you know, same region. So somewhere in my great grandparent, I have basically the most Irish person that has ever existed.
All right, cool.
But yeah, there's some other stuff in here when it like goes back to the traits. I'm trying to find it that says like there's certain traits like that tie back to the Neanderthal stuff that like I'm less likely to be afraid of heights. There's a couple of different. I'll see if I can find it.
You fell out of a helicopter.
I was gonna say you should be afraid of heights, seeing as you fell out of a helicopter.
I mean, there's some stuff in here, man. It's
well, that's neat. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you're not, you know, related to Ted Bundy, and it is Beethoven instead.
Right? It's the little things that matter.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay more to find out the serial killers that
you're related to. We did find out one time. My dad did the same kind of thing, and we always thought the only Italian side was my mom's side.
Yeah.
And when my dad went and did it, he found out he's got a bunch of Italian on his side, too, that he didn't know about.
Oh, all right.
So I'm even more Italian than I thought.
That's not the least surprising thing. I have seen the way you grow your facial hair and how quickly it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
and I get that from him and not my mother's Italian side.
Everything about you.
She's the blonde hair and blue eyes.
It seems Italian,
Southern
my
Italy.
All right. Well, we're off and running.
Look, I know everybody's worried about like the government watching their stuff, but I'm absolutely.
Well, didn't you just give it to the Mormon Church? Isn't that who?
Yeah, I don't care who has it. Like they already have all my information anyways.
That's true.
But
it, the Mormon Church does?
I mean, come on. If they want it, they can buy it.
Well, because, the Mormon Church, they don't care about you either because you're not blonde hair and blue-eyed.
Yeah, see? I'm just Irish.
Did you just confuse Nazi Germany with the Mormon Church?
Yeah.
I don't think I confused anything.
Wow.
That was Jeff Rust.
His views are his
own. That's cease and desist.
How many dark-skinned Mormons do you see out there?
Oh, I mean, they started accepting him in the 70s, right? 80s?
Yeah. 70s.
There you go.
I saw that in the play, The Book of Mormon.
I guess I do forget. There is a BYU campus like in Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Right?
And you got a lot of Polynesians, dude. A lot of Polynesians. Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a little bit of news. We got actually some breaking news as of 7 minutes ago. A big body heading to Oregon.
Oh.
I'm already here.
The college football playoff is getting going tonight. We are under 5 hours away from the 12-team college football playoffs starting. We will talk NFL, preview the weekend that is in the NFL, and what last night meant. A fun game on Thursday Night Football. We also got to get the Blazers in. Blazers, beat the Nugs, baby!
Hey, blaze the Nugs.
Dusty on the fan.
Left side, right side, on my back, on my stomach. Yeah, especially with the mouth open.
All right, a couple of Cruton notes in college football. One that just came through. Trent Bray did the beaver with a lock emoji, which is his signal that the Oregon State Beavers have acquired another target, which is good to hear. On the Ducks front, this is an interesting one. Bear Alexander has tweeted out a quad box of photos. One with himself, one with Dan Lanning, one with Coach Tuioti, and one with Tyler Dean, a recruiting coordinator. And he has duck emoji, home emoji, double eyeball emojis. Usually that means, found his home.
That, he's got he was four there, eyes, so he wears glasses.
He was there yesterday.
Yeah, that would be his eighth school in 8 years?
Yes.
Yeah, because remember, he went to four different high schools, went to Georgia, mm-hmm. transferred to USC, redshirted this year mm-hmm. at USC, and is now in the transfer portal. He has been making his visits. He's mm-hmm. been making the rounds.
He had a couple weird ones, I want to say, on his list.
He was at Penn State.
There was one school SMU. On there. That's what it was. I was like, that's a weird one.
Now they're in the college football playoff, and guess what they have?
Yeah, money.
Ton of money.
Yeah, and look, Bear's talent is truly great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason. He was a five-star monster. He's a massive human with unbelievable feet and hands. But he's a headache.
He is. He is. And, Dan Lanning is taking guys on that have been headaches at other places. And, it has been, for the most part, worry-free, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Evan Stewart came in, and everybody at Texas A&M was like, Evan Stewart is going to be a problem. Good luck with that guy. If he's not getting enough touches, he's going to turn into an issue. And one of the first things that Evan Stewart said in his first media availability this fall was, the structure has helped me. The fact that the culture that they built here has helped me. Trayshawn Holden was a guy that a lot of folks said, Alabama said, good luck with that one. He had a big slip up against Ohio State, but the dude has showed remorse. And outside of that, like, he has had no issues in that locker room or on the field outside of that. And that was a big one with the Ohio State game, and he was suspended for it, but he has been good soldier ever since.
If you're going to bet on something, bet on talent.
Bet on that talent. Look, bet on your culture too. Yeah. That's what great programs do is they don't get scared
don't
off.
Don't shy
by those.
Away from it. Look,
this is a big one though, because he has had, he gets disgruntled and he is the first to pack up and
the
leave.
The second he doesn't like something, he's out.
Yeah. So, the talent though,
he's a fine, like through the this roof. Isn't like a made up five star.
Yep.
He's a massive human who has unbelievable feet and hands. Like, he's a preternaturally gifted football player.
Yep.
There's there's nothing about him as a football player that you're not like, yeah, that's an NFL. Like, he's a first-round talent.
Yep.
It's everything between the ears. If they can fix him, if they can help him get his stuff on track, look, I want the kid to do well.
Yeah.
And if Oregon's that place for him, like, I was like, oh, you know, USC, like, no, like, look, man, go be good somewhere.
Yeah, this will be really interesting to see if, in fact, Oregon is the place that Bear Alexander does make his next school.
Because he did the exact same emojis at Penn State. He posted four pictures with We Are and two eyeballs and the Penn State. He's doing this everywhere.
Okay.
So,
well,
but
I think that the home emoji is interesting.
Sure. Look, I mean, would it surprise the second Bear Alexander hit the portal? The first team that I heard was Oregon.
Yeah.
So this isn't surprising.
Yeah, no doubt. The three schools that he's looking at, though, are Penn State, which he went and took a trip to earlier this week, Oregon, and then SMU, which I'm assuming he'll go to after they play at Penn State tomorrow. So we'll see. Recruiting never stops, baby.
You probably go to that game, right?
He goes to that one?
Yeah, you probably go to that game, right?
I don't know.
Watch play.
Well, there's plenty of tickets, apparently. Mm. You see that they're having problems selling the tickets? They're saying that there could only be 70,000 people at the Penn State game.
At Beaver Stadium?
At Beaver Stadium. Yeah, tickets are the cheapest of any college football playoff game, which get-in-the-door price is about $60. This is This is as of the other day. No, they rolled back the amount of student allotment as part of the CFP, apparently. That's what I've just been reading.
It's a home game, man.
Get in the door for Indiana Notre Dame, obviously, is the highest because it's the Indiana State Championship.
Yeah.
$390. Tennessee, Ohio State, where apparently Tennessee fans are claiming that they bought up 30,000 tickets at Ohio Stadium, $129.
That's the
cheap tickets.
That's a good price to get in.
Clemson at Texas, you can get in the door for $108. SMU, Penn State, $60.
Wow, that's incredible.
Well, so it's going to be snowy there, right? And Penn State's going for the whiteout.
Yeah.
And the stands. And I think they're also going, I saw the white helmet with the blue numerals on them too in a photo.
Oh. Do you see what Ohio State's wearing?
No.
They're not wearing that silver monstrosity, are they?
No. They're wearing red pants. So red pants, red jersey with their normal helmets.
Oh, the red out? That's a lot of red.
They're going color rush.
Yeah, here's the thing. You're Ohio State. Like when they played against Oregon, they wore all white.
That was weird. I didn't like
wear
it.
Wear your silver pants. Yeah. Like they should never wear anything but silver
pants. They should never be blocked out.
Them in like Georgia always wear silver pants. Alabama always wear white pants.
Yeah.
No matter what.
That's weird.
Yeah. I didn't
like the Oregon Ohio State game because neither of them went with traditional, and I thought it was awkward.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's just
I know Oregon changes
thing.
All the time.
They
but
wear
like,
black in the big games,
but I mean, like in that game,
yeah,
in like you're getting like, what should be the first of many traditional Big Ten matchups.
Yeah,
go traditional.
Yeah, see those big games like that. Ooh. I want to see the old school
spin zone,
green and yellow
spin zone. Though, what is traditional for Oregon because they've worn three different shades of green. Black,
I'm talking
silver.
About yeah. Like yeah. Back to the
you
90s,
the
old want, school green and yellow.
You want the Kelly green
yeah.
with like the
yellow.
UO on the helmet.
Anytime you're playing in those big games,
I don't disagree.
Wear the Kelly green. You can mix it with the black. You can mix it with the white, but make sure the Kelly green isn't part of it. Or what's the actual yellow that they use?
I don't know.
It's you know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yellow.
There was a while they called it lightning yellow, right? But
that's a different one. That's the super bright highlighter, not that one. Just the regular yellow.
Yeah.
Have one of those colors be the dominant color.
Yeah. Well,
in those big matchups, like if you're gonna have those games, it's like when USC Notre Dame plays and when Georgia Alabama plays. Like, I don't when you get those matchups, let's keep like some thread
you know,
of.
What's interesting with Oregon is that the uniform committee players. They're the ones that pick the mm-hmm. uniforms for them
yeah.
for each game.
Yeah.
Like they go
Which
out
cool.
and they're the ones that do it. So it's like with a school like Oregon, it's like, well, whatever the players want to wear, I don't care.
Well,
right?
It's like you always say, look good, feel good,
that.
Play good.
Yeah, and that's
up to them.
The players choosing. But there's just a certain handful of programs that I think you just go, tradition is what you are rooted in. Ohio State is one of those. Like, we can't outthink the room here. Go all red? Mm. Come on.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, what are you, Texas Tech?
Right. Right. Hopefully you don't play like them.
I mean, kind of hope they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the playoff starts tonight.
Want to talk about that?
Let's get into it. Right. Let's do it. Indiana, Notre Dame. It's going to be a doozy. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. We're about 4.5 hours away from kickoff of the college football playoff.
Can I just say it's great to be back on the West Coast and have proper hours for sporting events?
That is true.
Those lunatics over there watching sports at 10:30 at night.
Yeah, it's an 8 o'clock kick for Notre Dame and Indiana in South Bend, Indiana.
See, I will say, as an old barman, it was nice to have some of those like live sporting events on. You know, it would be nice to have some of those live sporting events on late at night.
Yeah. You
know, leading into 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be a cold one in South Bend. I saw the videos early this morning. Traffic started backing up in front of Notre Dame Stadium at 7 a.m. Eastern. As there's people saying, we want to get an early start on this because of the inclement weather. It has been snowing all day in South Bend, Indiana.
Which is great news because it sounded like it was only going to snow yesterday.
High of 31 or 32, which it is right now.
Perfect.
In South Bend, Indiana. At 6 p.m. Eastern, there is a snow flurries will be falling on the stadium as the specialists will be going out for their early warm-ups. It's supposed to be about 29 degrees and cloudy with about between 40 and, 50% chance of snow near the end of the game and about 35 to 40% at the beginning of the game to have snowfall in Notre Dame Stadium. And I'm here for it. I'm here for all the weather. Penn State had a picture of Beaver Stadium this morning covered in snow and a blanket of snow. They play tomorrow. The temperatures are not supposed to get over freezing. So whatever, they're going to obviously, you know, plow the field or whatever. But there's going to be snow on the edges and around the stadium. Here for it all. Especially if it's just going to be cold in State College, Pennsylvania tomorrow. But tonight, this is going to be playing a factor in this game. Obviously, both these teams run the ball effectively. Notre Dame, one of the most effective rushing teams in college football. But if the elements are at play here and you can just man up on the outside, the number one rush defense in college football, Indiana, can then load the box even more. Because I think some people don't really understand about Indiana's pass defense. They're top three in the Big Ten this year.
Is that pretty good?
Very good. They have a really good pass defense as well. So it's like that run defense is, you're playing with the lead most of the year. Well, teams are throwing the ball on them a lot,
too. And they're stonewalling that.
And they're doing a really damn good job. And if you could trust your guys on the outside to just man up and allow yourselves to load the box against a rushing attack, that's a three-headed monster at Notre Dame. That is huge for Indiana. The big problem, though, is Curtis Rourke going to be able to get loose? Is he going to be able to throw the ball?
Did the time off allow him a chance to kind of heal up a little bit? Because he played with a pretty nasty injury, lost his thumbnail on his throwing hand.
That's gnarly, dude.
And as dumb as it sounds, and yes, as painful as that sounds, like that's like the bed of what, that's how you grip things.
Yeah.
And he's a quarterback. That seems like mildly important.
Well, and in the cold, where grip, if you're healthy, is an issue, it could be a massive issue for Indiana.
We going to get a little Teddy Two Gloves action, you think?
I don't know, but Kurt Cignetti is more than okay with his quarterback, Curtis Rourke. Mr. Google Me had a phenomenal retort to the elements playing a factor today in the college football playoff.
I hope it snows a foot and a half. We have a Canadian quarterback. Did you see him throw the ball against Purdue? I mean, this guy grew up like in the frigid north.
God, I love it. We got ourselves a Canadian quarterback.
We got a Canadian quarterback. I hope it snows a foot and a half. Maybe the quarterback from Ottawa is the one that's going to be able to get it done for Indiana today. Because if they can throw the ball and they can have balance, that is what makes Indiana hum, right? They are about middle of the road in national rankings in both offensive categories, rush and pass offense. But it's because they play with such balance that defenses have to play honest against them. And if Curtis Rourke cannot throw the ball effectively and get the ball out quickly, too, that's the other thing. Indiana's offensive line, that may be one of their biggest weaknesses as a team as a whole. We saw that play out in the Ohio State game. We saw that play out in the Michigan game. You have got to be able to have that balance, because when you're going up against, who are they, Cross and Mills,
mm-hmm.
dude, those guys in Notre Dame are going to pin their ears back, and they're going to try to get to Curtis Rourke. He's got to be able to get the ball out quickly, have zip on it, and that thumb in the cold weather is going to be a big issue.
It's interesting. I was looking at the PFF kind of stats grid, so like this. Did you know Indiana graded out as the third best defense in the country, according to PFF?
Yes, they're really good, like, defensively.
That's the only teams above them are Texas and Ohio State.
And that was the thing about the Ohio State game, that it was like I didn't really learn a whole lot about Indiana. Because of their special teams blunders and turnovers, Ohio State was operating on a short field the entire game. So, like, we didn't really get that true measuring stick of what this Indiana defense is against Ohio State, because their back was against the wall for most of the game.
I mean, right out of the gate. I mean, the first quarter, they just they took the double barrel and just took it right to the feet.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, no. And that was the thing is, they, this is a lot of feet metaphors, they needed to play on the front foot mm-hmm. against Ohio State. That they needed to get out there early. It reminded me of the first Texas-Georgia game, where Texas came out and kind of danced around it, and Georgia just punched him in the mouth.
Yep.
And then the rest of the game, Texas was the better team. And I don't know if necessarily Indiana was the better team after that, you know, first quarter and a half, but they looked drastically different. It was just, yeah. But they just got down so often, so early, that it was like, yeah, I don't know about this one.
I'm interested to see how Indiana does stack up, because the Notre Dame defense is really stinking good. They force more takeaways than anybody else in college football. They are, and that's another thing too, when it's cold, ball hits the turf a lot more. And when you're going up against a Notre Dame team like this, we saw the biggest bugaboo that they had against Ohio State was special teams blunders and turnovers, right? You can't afford that in a big game. And we're going to see, was it just big game jitters one time against Ohio State, or was that a learning experience against the Buckeyes to where now that it carries over into Notre Dame and we see them play the complete game that we've come accustomed to see them playing against, if we're being honest, bad teams.
Yeah.
And both of these teams have had
feasted on bad teams.
Insanely easy yeah. schedules.
And it pertains to Notre Dame. They've got a good front seven. There's no doubt about that. But they have one of the best back fours in football.
Yeah.
Like, it's if you're
Leonard Moore is a dude.
For me, it's between them and
He's
Texas.
A freshman, too.
Like, it's between them and Texas as far as, like, every spot in the secondary being not only good, but great.
Mm-hmm.
They're incredibly disruptive. I mean, if you look at the PFF grades, they have the third best secondary in the country.
Pretty good.
So, I mean, like, and again, some of that's going to be distorted by because of who they've played.
Xavier Watts, too, the safety, yeah. He's really damn good.
They've just got dudes at every spot, and they're very physical. They're big, they're long, they're athletic. It is a very, very, very good secondary. And that's the thing is, like, you know,
that's good defense.
Well, yes, it is. But I mean, as good as the defense is, I think while the front seven is very solid, I think that secondary is kind of what makes everything go for them, because they can play on an island, and they do play on an island,
yeah.
And it allows them to be very aggressive up front.
I'm here for it. I'm ready. I am so ready. It's not even funny. College football playoff gets underway tonight. 5 o'clock Pacific time is when this thing will get rip-roaring and ready to go. And then tomorrow we've got a triple header of games. We'll get you set for those coming up next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Look at Christmas music, and Russ is going deep cuts today. I like this.
Going deep. I saw this one a while back. Yeah. It's called Santa Drives an Astro Van. How does that not suck you in?
My family had one of those growing up. My mom threw rims on it.
I don't think that we should be talking about a fat man throwing things into an Astro Van, bud. Like, it doesn't suck.
You go up to, you go up to,
you want
to
help me move this couch?
You go up to the fat kids because they can't run away.
She puts the lotion in the basket.
All right. Hey, we got an update on who the Oregon State Committee is. We talked about this 12:15. Wanted to make sure I relayed this on. The Oregon State Beavers have picked up a commitment from transfer portal entry Josiah Timoteau from Nevada. Oh. Big old offensive lineman out of Nevada.
They went into the Mountain States again. Huh? They got one from BYU and one from Nevada.
Yeah, so two UNR offensive linemen heading to the state of Oregon.
Hey.
Tackle Isaiah World, who's about as big as the world.
Yes.
And Josiah Timoteau, both coming to the Beaver State.
Nice.
One for Oregon, one for Oregon State. All right. We've got a trio of games tomorrow. I just wanted this as a programming note. It's going to be hard. This is going to be an adjustment because you know what we have to do tomorrow, right? You have to familiarize yourself with a channel that doesn't normally have football on it.
Oh, the TNTs of the world?
The TNTs of the world. The first two games are going to be on TNT tomorrow. So tonight you get 5 o'clock ABC, Indiana at Notre Dame as the Indiana State Championship game is popping off, which I'm excited for. And it's going to be easy to find. We all know where to find that. But tomorrow on TNT or the Max app, okay, you will be able
to... Ah, yes, that place that you're familiar with going HBO. To for sports.
Yeah, HBO. You will have SMU at Penn State at 9 a.m. Pacific. It's a big nooner on TNT tomorrow, okay? Familiar voices, though, because did you see what they're doing, though? I this is a partnership with ESPN and TNT to do this. This is like the first of what will become many partnerships because inside the NBA will be coming to ESPN.
So they're like subleasing, basically.
Yeah. The television crew is not, they're not starting a TNT TV crew. Because that is thing; those are things that would like really throw me for a wrench if it's a brand new crew working together and we don't know. For SMU Penn State, it will be Mark Jones, Roddy Jones, Quint Kesenich, and Tom Luganbill on the call. Okay, so you get some familiar voices on that game. I'm okay with it. Then after that on TNT, it's a doubleheader. Rust is not going to be upset at this. It is a doubleheader. You're going to have Dave Pasch, Dusty Dvorak, who is the Dusty and Danny. We talked to Danny Cannell. Taylor McGregor and Laura Rutledge on the call, but that one also on TNT. All right. That will be at 1 o'clock Pacific time.
A true doubleheader.
So we go
one after the other.
9 a.m. TNT, 1 o'clock TNT. Flip back over to ESPN at 5, and you have Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, Holly Rowe, Marty Smith, Ohio State, Tennessee. Let's go.
I like it.
That is a...
I'm so jazzed.
That may be my favorite crew now that you're going to have two sideline reporters. You know which side Marty Smith's going to be on.
No.
Hey, that guy spends...
Marty Smith's going to be on that Tennessee
sideline. He's going to be on that Tennessee sideline, man. Yeah. He's going to be going in there and... You know, that guy spent some time at Bristol Motor Speedway. Of course he's going to be there.
Like, I know it's not Texas, but he's going to be down there sounding like Boomhauer.
Speaking of Boomhauer, I stumbled across this a couple days ago. Do you know how they came up with a character for Boomhauer?
It's religion, man. Sticking ball sports, raise some hell and toss back some cold beer.
I love Marty Smith.
Marty Smith is awesome.
And he is the nicest guy.
Wonderful
ever,
human.
Too. The nicest
wonderful
guy.
Human.
Yeah.
Do you know where they came up for the voice for Boomhauer?
No.
Mike Judge said it on one of the late shows. There was a real person that used to, somehow he got his phone number. Got Mike Judge's phone number, the creator of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. And the voice for Boomhauer came from this dude who used to leave him voicemails sounding exactly like Boomhauer.
Beavis and Butthead, man.
Yeah, and it made no sense. Like, it would be things that just like, yeah, and you know, it's a raccoon's tail up in there, and then that's how you get to the bottom of the well. Like that bayou mixed with Creole, mixed with Texan, and then
like South Texan in there.
It's just this,
bam, man, bam.
But he like He still has the voicemails, and he like played one of them. It was like, oh my god, that's Boomhauer.
I feel like at that time he was replaying the tapes of an answering machine. Do you remember answering machine tapes?
Yes. That's what it was. Like
answering machine.
He was on an answering machine because this guy was like he was leaving him voice or you know message on his answering machine about how much he didn't like Beavis and Butthead.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy has principles.
Well, and it's like how on Seinfeld, Kramer was inspired by like one of Larry David's old not roommate, but guy across the hall. I forget what his name was. It was Kenny something or what have you. But yeah, like inspired by real person.
Well, dude, so
that's
many
the great
TV
thing about this stuff
are.
Is like real people.
Yeah. Well, that's like Ty Burrell, Modern Family, Phil Dunphy. The character, like. Ty Burrell has said that, like, I don't know if I should be offended or not. I'm honored, and it was great playing him. But they said, we are writing this in your vein. So Phil Dunphy, like, the creator of Modern Family was like, you are perfect for this because it's written with you in mind.
Well, the thing is,
you're
he was perfect for it.
He was. That may be one of the best characters
I love that
in
show.
TV ever.
Yeah.
Phil Dunphy
I feel
is
like
amazing.
That's what
I
you have to do show. With guys like John Malkovich.
Yeah.
And Christopher Walken. Like, parts are written for them because, like, the characters that they play in movies are just themselves.
When he paid that man his money.
Yes.
What's weird, though, is that, like, nobody knew that that's who Ty Burrell would play so perfectly because of the fact that his first, like, big role was, like, dying in Black Hawk Down. Like...
Oh my God!
Yeah, he spoke.
I don't even remember that.
He spoke at a graduation at Southern. And
that's crazy.
It was like people were like, "Who's this guy?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, he was in Black Hawk Down, man. He went here, and then he became Phil Dunphy."
I never in a million years would have like if you actually that's actually one of those movies where you go back and if you watch it and see the guys that are like the extras and the bit players.
Yeah,
that and Band of Brothers. There has maybe more stars in it than any other movie series thing of all time.
He played Wilkinson in Black Hawk.
I know
Down.
That, dude.
That's so crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That does. Josh Hartnett, Ewan McGregor, Tom Sizemore, Eric Bana. Let's see here. They have two Ewans in it.
That's a pretty good.
Ewan Bremmer.
Yeah, you gotta hate going into a movie being the second least famous Ewan.
Yeah, Charlie Hoffmeyer's in it.
Glenn Morshower, who plays an officer in like every single movie.
Yeah,
like
they had they had quite a bit.
Johan Gruffudd, who's was the he's been what was that TV show that?
Yeah, I got nothing. You guys have spouted out a couple names here lately that I don't. I got nothing.
Jeremy Piven is in it.
I know him.
Yes, like
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy's like a bit part.
Orlando Bloom.
And he, you know, gets jacked up early. Like it's
back on the track.
Kim Coates. Like you just say like go down. You're like, oh my god, there is a million just like bit part players in here.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Yeah.
I do that every time. Yeah, there you go. Ty Burrell. That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If you had not said that, I never would have like linked those two together.
Well, and it's hard to picture Ty Burrell like in a serious role. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. Just because.
Like dying as a military man.
Just because Phil Dunphy.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that'll happen.
That's right. All right. Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two, we will get to the hometown team, the Portland Trailblazers. That's where we'll start hour number two because that was a hell of a win by the hometown team last night.
Indeed.
Ant and Shea go nuts in the second half. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.